Do you get frustrated with porn filters that block too much or too little? Let me introduce you to Plucky, a new filter that you customize. Here's how it works. You set your own boundaries, deciding which websites are and aren't safe for you. If you're thinking, I'm not sure I can trust myself all the time, Plucky is made for you. It enforces the boundaries that you set, and it enforces them with steel, so you can't self-sabotage when tempted. Plucky puts your best self in control. People in over 100 countries use Plucky. Pricing is on a sliding scale, so it's affordable for everyone. For a free 30-day trial with no sign-up required, go to pluckyfilter.com. Take courage, take control, get Plucky.
It's something that if you were honest, you would say, I'm wobbling, or I'm basically positioning myself that I'm slowly moving back towards acting out, but I'm not technically acting out yet. So it's all of those little games we play with ourselves, and all of that we call edging.
Good day, friends. I'm Jonathan Darty, and I'm the founder of Be Broken Ministries. And I'm glad you've decided to join us today, because in this episode, I welcome back Vern Tomke to discuss the evolving challenges that men face in recovering from pornography addiction. And we dive into this concept of edging. That's using social media or maybe other kinds of media for arousal without fully acting out, and how today's digital landscape really complicates recovery. Vern shares some of his personal journey. He also shares just incredible practical strategies and the importance of daily connection and removing these triggers. Together, we explore the biological, emotional, and spiritual sides of addiction, emphasizing that true recovery isn't just about avoidance, but really about pursuing a richer, more connected life. To learn more about Vern and the resources that he has, you can visit bandofbrothers.care. For additional resources, visit BeBroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, I'm going to invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening, because it really does help others to find it. Now let's go ahead and join Vern to gain some insights and practical tools for a life of greater integrity. Well, all right, we have Vern Tomke back with us. Welcome back to the program, Vern.
It's great to be back, Jonathan. Thank you.
Yeah, so we've had you on a few times before, and we'll be sure to put in the show notes some of the other sessions that we had with you. I think one of the ones that was most intriguing to the guys especially was the stopwatch acting out cycle, and kind of giving that really concrete visual for guys to be able to say, hey, where am I in this process? So that's fun. That's what I always love about what you bring to, is you try to make it where, hey, I can actually see this in practice. I can start to see things in real time that make a difference to my recovery.
You know, I heard quite a bit of feedback from our conversation we had together. And it's like some men had said, you know, Vern, I felt like you were almost in my head in terms of what I was going through in that cycle. So it was encouraging that we were able to provide a little, reverse engineering help, I guess, to guys' struggles.
Yeah. And you know what, before we get into our specific conversation today, I want to do something maybe on the front end that is easily relegated to the back end. And I, especially for maybe some of our new listeners who maybe they've never met you, haven't listened to those old podcasts, just, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and especially some of the resources and ministry work that you do.
Yeah. Well, I'm a guy that's had a lifelong struggle with porn. From the time I was 11, 12 years of age, like a lot of people, it got embedded in my life. And despite that, I felt God's call in my life. I went into pastoral work. And for many years, I was a pastor, but also struggled with porn. But I'm also an educator. Me and my wife are both teachers. And so as I began to find traction, as I began to find help in my own journey, I realized, you know what? There's a lot of men out there like me who were struggling. Now, I'm a slow learner. I didn't really find what I call a tipping point until I was 55. And I am excited when I talk to guys in their 20s and 30s, because I'm going, you don't have to go through your 30s and 40s like I did. It's still struggling with porn and trying to put the pieces together. So that's been a bit of my journey, to help guys and teach guys in practical ways with some of the lessons I guess God has seen fit to teach me and I've learned from other guys in this journey as well.
That's great. And we'll give some links and things like that at the end of the program. And of course, we got all that in the show notes. But, you know, I was interested about this conversation because, again, you've been in the space for a little while. You've dealt with a lot of men. And so I'm curious just kind of what are some of the things that you're seeing that are happening in guys' recovery that kind of caused you to pause and take a deeper look and go, hey, you know, this isn't exactly the way things were 30 years ago when guys were trying to break free from unwanted, you know, porn issues or whatever. So what are some of the things you're seeing? And especially I want us to hone in on this idea of what you call edging.
Well, this idea is something that I've seen a change in the last 2 or 3 years. So we're not going back 10 years. I'm going back the last 2 or 3 years. I have seen a significant change in how people are engaging with sexual arousal in unhelpful ways. Just a quick, you might have, you know, listeners may be familiar with the three circle idea. Red is the circle in the middle, and that is you're acting out behaviors. The outside circle we call green, which is all of those life-giving behaviors. But that middle circle is yellow, or as my British friends call amber. And that is kind of all of those grooming activities that you do to dance around the edges, where you do a little bit of searching, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And it's ways that you are sneaky clean, not squeaky clean. Hmm. And it's not, you know, it's something that if you were honest, you would say, I'm wobbling, or I'm basically positioning myself that I'm slowly moving back towards acting out, but I'm not technically acting out yet. So it's all of those little games we play with ourselves, and all of that we call edging, where I'm around the edge of acting out, but I can still lie to myself or tell myself I'm still technically clean.
Yeah. And of course, every individual person's story is going to have its own unique circumstances and variables. But generally speaking, you know, what's going on there? Because I don't think that's an exclusively new thing, but maybe it's just the volume and scale of what we're seeing now is so different because of technology and all of that. But what's really going on there? Because I have a little bit of my own ideas, but I'm like, what do you see happening and what are the reasons for that?
Right. Well, things have specifically changed in the last couple years. I started to notice when guys would start checking in, and we always begin our groups with a check-in. And one of those things is guys talk about red, amber, or green. And I started to hear a lot of these sorts of statements. Well, you know, I haven't looked at porn this week, but, and then what followed the but. And more, what I began to notice that guys were using was essentially social media to edge, to use that where they got little hits of arousal without technically acting out. And we can go into why that is so addictive and why it's been so problematic. But what I noticed is guys are now using social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and they're using it in exactly the same way they used to use porn. And it's having the exact same effects on their recovery. And I've seen that specifically in the last year or two, which has completely changed the way that many men are engaging with the internet. And it has a whole set of problems.
Yeah. And I think there are several components to it. One is I think we don't realize men who are coming out of these addictions, especially it's not as easy to see with, let's say, a porn or a sex addiction, the biological association with addiction. In other words, they don't recognize the degree to which their brains have actually changed for that dopamine hit and some of those types of things. That then when they're coming off of porn, they think, hey, because I don't have, you know, I don't smell like alcohol. I don't have, needle marks all up and down my arm. it doesn't feel to them as connected to their biology. They think, hey, I've just watched some stuff. I've just looked at a few things, you know, for 20 years or whatever. Yep. And so when they start coming off of this and start getting into programs that say, okay, we're going to do a check-in and we're going to start curbing behaviors and we're going to start moving in a new direction. And there's a subtlety, maybe sometimes not so much a subtlety, where they go, I'm recognizing that every night at 9 o'clock, I'm starting to go to social media. I'm starting to go to these things, and they don't realize it's kind of like the difference between saying, you know, hey, I used to be, let's say you were completely addicted to sugar. You know, let's use another thing. Yeah. You know, you're addicted to sugar, and then you stop cold turkey on sugar. And then you find yourself at 9 o'clock saying, I think I want to eat an apple. I want to do, you know, something that's got a little bit of sweetness to it. Like, and so talk a little bit about the biological component. Obviously there's also other components, spiritual, there's other emotional aspects to it, but what do you think is, because I feel like there's been a vast difference since the kind of media that we're able to access now at the volume that we're able to access it, it changes our biology even faster than it used to.
Well, let me give you an example. Recently, I flew into Las Vegas. There's a counseling center down there and a number of individuals that use my Finding Traction program. And, you know, like I did, I stopped at the airport and I just observed people on the slot machines. You know, no more is those one-armed bandits. People were just sitting there mesmerized with one finger, their index finger, tapping the button. You know, it reminds me of the rat tapping the water, you know, but tapping the button and watching the things. It was just a one finger exercise that they were doing. And then I started to watch yesterday. I still teach Tuesdays of high school. I did a test in chemistry 11. It was 30 minutes. The last 30 minutes, the kids could just work on homework. Almost all of them were on social media. And with one finger, they were just
scrolling.
Yeah. They did that for the last 30 minutes of the class, almost the whole class. And I mean, you know, you can always see what's coming up in future generations. And I realized there is something about intermittent reinforcement, you know, that's like 100, where you're seeing and getting those little dopamine hits whenever something comes across your feed that's arousing. And I can see some of the stuff that the guys are looking at. And it's all these little, you know, little things. It's the hits. It's the little tiny dopamine hits of intermittent reinforcement. And the algorithm knows that you're a guy. They know how old you are. You know, there's that old Miami Sound machine. You know, the rhythm's going to get you way back. Well, let me tell you, the algorithm's going to get you. And it just keeps people engaged. It's amazing. For 30 minutes, they were just single finger, you know, flip, you know, down the screen, endlessly scrolling. And it's a powerful reinforcement. It's different, Jonathan, even different than when we went to a website and we literally needed to click on different things. And we were still we weren't always going to the right places, but we were still somewhat active. This has completely put our brain on passive mode. And it's really having an effect in men. Or, you know, there's a reason why YouTube went to YouTube Shorts. There's a reason why Facebook has gone to Facebook's
Reels and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Why are they all going in that direction? Because the science, right?
Yeah. So I want to ask, you know, because one of the things too is always trying to, you know, we want to get to roots. We want to start to say, because I think it's always about, at least in our ministry and what we try to do, we're always saying, hey, you know, you'll see the evidences of ultimately what is at the foundation, like the root. And we want to get to that. How much of this idea of edging that we're talking about, how much of this do you think might be rooted a little bit in maybe having a wrong understanding of what recovery is really all about? Maybe guys have a shallow understanding. Maybe they think, oh, it just means don't do it. Like, in other words, don't do anything in the red.
Right.
How much of that do you think is a factor where guys kind of look at it as like, hey, as long as I don't do red, everything's okay?
Yeah. And that has been a bit of the downside of our check. It's almost like the day count can have a negative underside. This has a negative underside, is people become legalistic. And one of the things, I think lesson 5 in our course is called Edging is Not Your Friend. And it kind of blows some guy's mind where they go, I started this course simply because I wanted to stop looking at porn. And now you're telling me the entire way that I deal with my sexuality, the entire ways that I'm constantly looking for those arousing hits from, you know, women I watch at the gym and things I see on social media and that heat seeking mode. You're telling me that that's part of the problem? I realize that I have to change the entire way that I view, you know, what I'm watching. And it's a little overwhelming for guys just starting out because they're mm-hmm. saying, I realize that there's something in me that just craves those dopamine hits. Jonathan, it's like the guys, you go to the hospital and you get an operation and, you know, you see guys walking down the hallways, usually with their butts sticking out, you know, pushing those little IV drips, right? And it's kind of like guys are realizing I'm walking through life with my butt sticking out, walking around with this IV pole, continually needing those hits in my life, those little dopamine hits, those little things that keep me disengaged from God, disengaged with other people. And that is not the life I want.
Yeah. And so how do we, if, you know, to maybe give it succinctly, and then we'll start going through, okay, what does it look like to start reframing this? But
sure.
If you had to, in like a sentence or two, tell a guy what the goal actually is of recovery, how would you state it?
I've said it in all the podcasts. Our goal is not just walking away from porn, but heading towards the life and relationships that God's called us to. That's where we're heading to. We're dropping things, but we're heading to a much, much better life. It's a life of confidence with God, with our prayers, with our intimacy with God. It's a life of connection with our wife if we're married. It's a life of engagement with our friends. It's a life of being confident to moving towards fully utilizing the gifts God's given us. That's the life we're looking for. That's the life we're moving for. And that's the reason why we stop porn. For that reason, God's called us for a much better thing.
And you know what? Based on a word that you just used a couple minutes ago, I would say if you were going to get down to the base, it's the difference between living a passive life versus an active life. Like Absolutely. It's not about avoidance, it's about pursuit, right? And that's it's so fundamental. And sometimes when we Love just that. Say it out loud, it feels very simple, right?
Yeah.
And most of the times you can say that to a guy who's even dealing in edging behavior, and up here, he gets it. Like up in his head, he goes, yeah, that makes sense. Why then is edging still such a powerful pull? Like, why can't he just go, and this is probably a bigger recovery question.
Right.
Why can't we just say rationally, hey, I get this. These things are bad. I should probably avoid those and pursue things that are good. And yet it's not, even though it's simple, it's not as easy as just flipping a switch.
Well, it's not, because we all look, water runs downhill, and our brain looks for easy ways of, you know, your wife goes into the grocery store and you got 10 minutes sitting in the car. Well, what do? Pull out our phone and scroll through social media or news app or something. It's like we can't sit still for 5 or 10 minutes. We need stimulation, right? And that's a larger problem, which is another whole episode. But it is something that's robbing from us. And here's the thing, guys, and I'm sure you've heard this before, guys will say to me, Vern, I got to make a change in my life. This has got to change. I'm maybe 30 and I'm still single and I'm not happy with my life. I may be 45 and my marriage sucks. And they'll say, okay, how quickly can you fix me? How quickly can I get over this? And I say to them, well, I'm not sure that you can speed it up. Like, there's a reason why the course, we take a whole year with guys to walk through the course. But I say to them, but you can definitely slow it down. You can put so much of your recovery on pause because you are unwilling to deal with those little behaviors which keep you still with the porn brain. You know, it's like my buddy Mark Dennison says, if you're 95% in, you're 100% out. And so when you start looking at the way you do life, you've got to be completely open to saying, I need to change lots of areas and I don't want to just put my recovery on pause. So you can slow it down by not dealing with things like edging.
I love that. And I think that that probably is going to really resonate with a lot of our guys that are listening. Just that one statement, because we see guys all the time that are saying, you know, all right, let's get on with this. How do I make this? And we're telling them all the time that, oh, listen, if you're serious, and I'm telling you, if you're serious, you're looking at a 3 to 5 year journey to shift the entire paradigm of how you live your life.
Right.
And so a lot of times they go, I don't know if I want to be in on that. And I love the way you put it. You may not be able to speed up that process, but you can sure slow it down. Right.
And I know, you know, guy,
you can make it 10 years if you want.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And you know, guys that are continually going over the same things, and you know, I put Instagram on my phone. I look at stuff I shouldn't do. I take Instagram off. I put Instagram back on my phone. I look at the, you know, just going a year into this, you're going, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not moving past this.
And it's not, and of course, you know, I know you've earned, and you know me, we are not trying to be flippant at all about the difficulty
Absolutely.
Of this. And we're not, we hope that nobody is hearing any shame in our tone or anything like that. We both are men on this journey ourselves. We understand the back and forth, you know, tug and pull, all of that that goes on in trying to learn how to live a whole new way. And neither one of us will claim that we've got that all figured out, right? But
Exactly. But
I think what we're trying to say is, guys, we're wanting you to take a really explicit, like serious step in taking a look at, are you living in that yellow? Are you living in that amber? When really it's a frustrating endeavor, right? It's just,
it is.
It's fruitless.
Let me give an example from our own lives. This is something that's happened in the last few weeks. I'm not a big liturgical guy with Lent and all those things, but me and my wife began to examine our relationship with the news, for example. And we both realized we are getting way too involved emotionally. We're thinking way too much about the news. My wife said to me the other day, I felt like every time I watched the news, my blood pressure would go up. Mm-hmm. She was having a physical response, kind of like an arousal response. She said, I felt like it was almost in my blood. And as often our wives are the first to lead us. I said, well, she said, you know, can we maybe take a break? And so we decided for 2 weeks, we're just going to take a break. We'll call it Lent, call it whatever you want. It was 2 weeks of spring break. Let's call it spring break. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a break from all news. And let's just kind of cleanse, you know, do a colon cleanse and just see if we can get a little bit of space and a little bit of freedom in this area. So we're not thinking about it. We're not anxious about it. And it posed some problems, Jonathan. Because the very first thing we realized is we had to change this relationship. So every night at supper, me and my wife would sit and have supper, and guess what we'd do? We'd watch the news. Because we're empty nesters now. We don't have James Dobson looking over our shoulders, all this kind of stuff, right? So we don't feel guilty anymore. So, but all of a sudden we realized, well, what do we do now? It's just a little tiny example of trying to change. It's not easy to change your relationship with something that you fill your time in, you depend on. So we decided, you know, for 2 weeks, we just watched dry bar comedy out of Utah, stand-up comedy, clean stand-up comedy. And it was a bit of our substitute as part of that. And now after 2 weeks, it just ended. We're now changing some of our relationship and making changes now that we've had some perspective. So anyways,
so let's talk now about, okay, what do you do then with these guys? What are some things that you offer them? How do you help them, first of all, to see that they are, you know, in this edging behavior?
Right.
And then what are the steps to help them get out of it?
Perfect. Okay. So in the podcast, Finding Traction, I had kind of this thing, the one rule to rule them all. But then I added the second one. So now I got the two rules to rule them all. What I say to guys is, well, like the one ring, I say, if you're not able to find traction and just getting started out in your recovery, porn has been so embedded, lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse. This is the first thing I want you to do. I want you to call and connect with somebody every day until you have 60 days clean time. That's rule number one, the one rule to rule them all. And then I just added a second rule to this one. I say, if you are not able to get 30 or 60 days. I'm already cutting it in half. 30 or 60 days, they're going to go on to the 30, I guarantee you. You're not able to get that clean time. This is what I want you to do. I want you to remove all access to social media for 30 days. I call it the porn adjacent challenge, because what guys are realizing is I've used adjacent just means near. I've used all these porn near behaviors to substitute my old porn addiction. So I say, I want you to remove all your apps. I want you to use screen time and make sure you can't add them back on. And then, like, you know, the old story of Daniel, after a week, I want you to ask yourself, is my recovery stronger or weaker? You know, after 1 week, just ask yourself, how am I doing? There's going to be a bit of a withdrawal. But do I actually feel like I'm closer to the goals that I told, you know, when they first came into relationship with me? And so we start by giving them those two rules. Everyone mm-hmm. starting out, number one, I want you to check in with somebody every day for 2 months. And number two is, now I want you to remove all of these edging behaviors that just keep you stuck on this slow journey to recovery. Well, it's slow, but you're actually not proceeding at all. So that's where we start with guys. And yeah. Some guys go, Jonathan, what? Oh my goodness. Like, you're asking me, like, to start, it's like, wow. You just didn't want me to go on a porn site.
Right. You know what the irony is about that? And this is what you've probably already seen with guys who have, mm-hmm. you know, been serious enough to take that challenge. Is the irony about that is when guys are willing to do that and say, you know what, yes. I'm going to listen to somebody who just knows yes. better than I am. They're further ahead than I am. I'll just do this. Is the irony is what they'll discover is something that initially feels slow, like, oh my yep. goodness, 30 days and then 60 days and I'm going to do this. And is when they look back on it 6 months from now, they'll go, man, that was the catalyst that just vaulted yes. me into a whole new way of living. It'll, yep. in hindsight, they'll realize that accelerated my growth, that accelerated my recovery, but you can't see it until right. it's in hindsight, right? So it's kind of that, like, there's this little bit of a cloudiness when they're going into it. Are you sure about this? I mean, I don't know if I want to do this.
Right.
And then when you do some of these radical sort of things,
yep.
you only realize in hindsight, man, that pushed me right where I needed to go.
And then they start realizing, it's like pulling a string. They realize, okay, tipping points are really funny, Jonathan, because sometimes people find one thing can totally revolutionize the way they've engaged. So it could be social media. I had another guy that told me, well, I started there and then I realized, you know what I do that constantly gets myself in trouble? I research. What do I mean by research? That's another kind of edging. I see a movie actress and I start researching her name. I start realizing, well, what movies is she in? They start realizing, well, what pictures are out there? It's always that curiosity and realizing. The one guy said to me, I just stopped researching and it has totally changed. It was another form of edging. But what started it was this idea around social media. So it can be overwhelming, but step by step. And those guys then become advocates and they're encouraging other guys. Man, you got to try this because I did this and my goodness, I feel so much more at peace in my day not having this in my life.
And let me ask you a question in maybe a little bit of an unusual way. When we're willing to give up anything that is in that yellow zone or that amber zone, mm-hmm. What are we actually losing and what are we actually gaining?
Well, what we're losing is just a whole lot of wasted time. If we're honest, we're not actually learning new things. None of us ever go back and go, well, that 30 minutes on, you know, YouTube reels or Facebook shorts, that really
enriched my life, right?
Enriched yeah. my life. But what they realize is I'm gaining a sense of peace of mind. I'm gaining a sense of confidence and I'm not having to fight and struggle with arousal every day. I'm not having to fight with those obsessive thoughts. I'm not having to fight. I hate the battle. Guys tell me, I hate this sexual arousal battle, and I just want some peace and some distance. Sure, there's times where it will come back stronger and I have to deal with it in productive ways. That's another whole topic. But I just want peace. I just want my mind to slow down and some mental space. So I should add, Jonathan, one of the things that's really important in this, though, is to have some things where you go, if you stop doing that, you need to add things. You need to change right. things. So
that was one question I want to ask you because it's not, you know, nature abhors a vacuum kind of thing. Yes. Like we are made to be filled, not to be emptied. And so what does it look like when you remove, like what's the trade-off when you say, hey, I'm not going to be spending, you know, 2 hours a day on social media? What then are the key elements of what a person's to focus on?
Well, it could be as simple as going, what else could I find pleasurable? That's not so, you know, so my wife bought me a big USA Today crossword puzzle book. A Sudoku book. It's having your favorite novel with you at all times with just a bookmark in it that, you know, when you're waiting, you can just pull out your novel and you can read. It's having something that is low-tech ways of replacement. You know, there's different things that you can turn to. It's going for a quick walk. You know, it's some of those things, but you have to think this through in terms of practical things that you could do other than that. It also means there's some technical things as well. You don't have any of these apps on your phone. Use screen time to take them. I have a couple guys that say, but Vern, I have a couple guys that use social media as part of their job. So then what we did is we designed the Freedom app. We didn't design the Freedom. We used the Freedom app to set real specific limits so they can use it for work, but then it's not something they're always returning to. In times where they're taking control of their lives. So there are practical things that you can work with a coach around to get back control of your life.
Yeah. And one thing I would say is I would really highlight even the first rule that you had, which is highly relational, right? Call yes. somebody every single day.
Yeah.
You know, one of the ways that I try to help guys think about just shifting the paradigm is the whole foundation of a porn or a sex addiction is built on being isolated and disconnected from yes. relationships. So I encourage guys, when you start eliminating these things that were part of that lifestyle, the simple way to think about what am I going to replace it with is not something else that just isolates and disconnects you.
Yes.
It's like, I'm made for connection. So even if that's a struggle or if that's difficult, it's like, what does it look like to make a phone call? What does it look like to just,
yes.
you know, connect with people. That's very important.
And all of our guys are on WhatsApp in our groups. And just send out a quick encouraging note to you guys in your WhatsApp or see, you know, or a quick phone call to somebody. That is like ideal. I love that.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, I'm thinking about the guys that are listening that are going, hey, I'm on the edges, right? I mean, I'm yep. struggling with this. And maybe they're scared. Maybe there's anxiety about that. And you know, it's always difficult to completely let go of what has been very familiar to yep. you. What word of encouragement and challenge would you want to give to those guys in maybe that situation?
I would just go back to something you said earlier. What you're giving up will be so much less than the new freedom, the new confidence, the new gifts that God has in store for you. I'm starting to ask guys, where could confidence take you? What could you, if you really had your confidence back, you really had your sense of confidence in your walk with God, in your walk with your wife, in your walk with your kids, where could that take you? That's what I want you to focus on. And you're going to see whether or not you spend a half hour on YouTube shorts compared to that. If that's keeping you from that, it's an easy trade-off.
That's good. Well, Vern, where can guys go to get more information about this challenge or anything else that you've got?
First of all, I love guys to connect with the Finding Traction podcast. It's called Finding Traction, Recovery from Porn. It's on all the different podcast apps. I'm also super excited about a one-year video course called Finding Traction that I developed. And basically, it takes guys through the first full year of porn recovery. It's 52 15-minute videos with worksheets, and you can do it with a buddy. I've had churches doing it, and you can watch lesson one for free on the website, which is just bandofbrothers.care. And if you want to reach out to me, it's bandofbrothers, that's plural, bandofbrothers.care@gmail.com. I'd love to connect with guys.
Yeah. Well, Vern, it's always a pleasure to have you on. And thanks again for sharing sharing these great insights with us.
Love you guys. Love the ministry and what you guys are doing. Thanks again.
Yeah. Well, we're going to put all those great resources and links and everything in the show notes. So please check those out and reach out to us. We want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. And so we are glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.